Welcome to Talking with the Source, where we bring on well-known and local researchers from around the world to share their experiences and evidence.
Who knows that the moon missions were faked?
As soon as I said, I'll meet you, and she said, oh, darn it, I gotta check the door, make sure the door's locked, because I don't want to leave John's house unlocked. So she goes back to check the door. I go out to my vehicle, and I hear this god-awful scream.
Well, there are 63 races of grays. So most people only think there's one race, and when you say grays, it's a misinformation. There are 63 races. Out of those, one race is a negative extraterrestrial. And what I do is I group them in the negative and the positive. The positive wish to see humanity ascend.
What is your name? My name is Anthony.
Mysteries of this podcast. Join us only on Talking with the Source, live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and on all podcast listening platforms.
What's going on, everybody? AJ Capasso here with Talking with the Source. I'm here with two of my best friends. One on the left, top left, is Jonathan Keyworth of JK47 Paranormal Investigations. And we have on the right, Sir Chris Binder, who is one of our newest hosts. So I just want to say, how are you guys doing, man? What's going on?
Doing good, brother. 17-year anniversaries today. I've been married 17 years, so...
You have survived.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. Dez, you have survived. That's what I should be saying.
Yeah.
Claps to Dez.
And the two kids. And you got those two little ones.
Yep, absolutely. But Chris, how you been, brother?
I've been great. Been a pretty good week.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, guys, we have an amazing guest coming on today. I'm super happy that I got to meet him. This man, a lot of people in the field, they talk about para-unity, but they don't follow through with a lot of stuff they say, as you guys know. Well, this man, he really does follow through with what he says, and the stuff that he's doing, I absolutely love. He's all about bringing people together, working with different teams, working with other people, always supporting, always sharing other people's stuff, and it's amazing to meet him. So I want to bring forward from Lost Souls UK, Daryl Evans. Hold on one second. What's
Hello.
Up?
There he is. Wrong guy. There you go.
Oh, you have to put me on the big screen, didn't you?
Oh, we had to.
Always. You're the guest.
Always.
So, Daryl, how has everything been, man?
Yeah, it's been busy. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, tell our viewers a little bit about yourself and a little bit about what you do and, you know, go from there.
Well, of people that do already know me, my name's Daryl, Lost Souls UK. I was a paranormal investigator doing this for 7 years now.
Awesome.
And yeah, been to a few places. I think I calculated the other day it was 30 places I've been so far.
Nice.
But 17 only, obviously, on this channel. And there was some others that I did previously on other channels with other people. So yeah, I don't know what else to say now.
That's awesome. So tell me, man, one of the things I saw before I passed it on to my other host, like I was saying in the beginning, you're very much into para-unity, and I wanted you to speak a little bit on what, you know, like how important it is to you.
Well, it's very important because it's the fact that, like, I don't know why people are just going to get started from the bullying side. It's there's no need for it. So for me, it makes sense that everyone will get more done or get places booked more and help each other out more, you know, if everyone's nice to each other. Because if you're hating on people or bullying people, you will find that you are just going backwards. You know what I mean? You're not going to get anywhere. you know. Yeah. So parimutuel community literally needs to be everyone kind, collective, helping everyone where they can. And you will find that if you help a little team out, they will go far. You know, it doesn't matter the size that you are. It's just all the connections. Everyone will get somewhere eventually.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's the reason why we do this.
Yeah, man.
You meet so many amazing people, and we get to network with a lot of amazing people, and, you know, famous and not famous. And it's just, it's really cool to get to see. And like you said, it doesn't matter how many years you have in the field. I mean, we can learn from everybody. You know, yeah. There's things that people have taught us that have been in the field for less than a year. And I've taken it and used it for my own research, like to help my research. And I think what you're doing with ParaUnity is very smart, because, like I always say, if we worked together, we would probably be farther in, you know, with answers than we are right now, instead of being clashing with everybody, you know? So
yeah. You awesome. Know, AJ, that's what Billy Carson says. He says that's why our world isn't evolving the way it should be, because we're always competing. We need, if we worked as a collaborative and used all our intelligence together, we would be evolving at a much faster pace. And that's the same thing with the paranormal world. You know, I'm an open book, man. Like you guys want to know how I do my sessions. I've done so many videos on how I do my sessions and stuff, how I get these voices and everything. I'm an open book, man. You got questions, I'll give you the true answers of everything that I do. So
Chris, you keep doing that to me. I saw that. But anyway, real quick, I want to shout out to Ian Diver, and I want to shout out to Latino Psychic Visions. Thank you guys so much for
joining. Roger, what's up, my brother? Yes.
Awesome.
That's Roger Garza.
Awesome. Well, nice to meet you, Roger. Super happy you're here, man. Chris, go ahead, man. It's your turn, brother.
Oh, I don't know. I was about to say the same thing JK was about. It gets you there. It got me here. ParaUnity got me here. Honestly, I mean, getting to know JK and everyone and just building. So it got me where I'm at now with all the streams and.
Yeah.
No, anything I can do to help you get better evidence to help prove that there's life after death. That's what I'm all about, man. And any evidence I capture, I try to debunk it. That's always the number one thing. I try to prove that everything that happened because of a reason.
And I don't understand the hate. I never have understood the hate the clash. I was like, why would you not want to? Oh, I found a spirit here. I heard this EVP. Why would you not want to share that so I can then go in and see? I heard the same thing. Now it's confirmed by two people instead of one person just trying to make a name.
So what I actually wanted to say to that, and I wanted to ask you this question, Daryl, was, do you think that since we have a lot of people that do clash in this field and do say come from a federal location, and they'll be like, oh, this place is haunted, and then the next team will go and they get no evidence and they're like, this place is a joke, they were liars, blah, blah, they're fake, they fake their evidence, all this stuff. But in reality, as we know in the paranormal, you know, you don't always get evidence all the time, you know? So do you think that some of these spirits actually understand how our behavior is towards one another, and maybe that's the reason why certain teams maybe will walk into a location and all of a sudden they won't get what the last one gets? I mean, what's your opinion on that kind of stuff? Do you think that souls can pick up on our behavior, on our emotions, on what
intention.
We do?
Definitely. It's, you got to think a spirit is just without a body. So they're obviously going to have a ghost brain as such, you know, and they're still going to function the same way as they would have done living, I believe. You know what I mean? So if a team goes in and the place is absolutely active, you know, it's probably the way they've done things or their energy that their spirits like. And obviously if a team goes in and they don't get anything, it could be because they've probably gone in, you know, not with the right energy or, you know, communicated in a good way. Because a lot of teams I've noticed go in and talk to them like children. That's one of my icks in the paranormal world, is when you see someone and they talk to him like children. He's like, you're talking to him like a child, even if they're like an adult. You don't, you communicate in a way so that they understand, but they can see it. It's like, okay, they're going to ask me a question. You know, yeah. I'm going to communicate whether I can speak or noises. But yeah, I believe that if you go into an area, you talk to him like I'm talking to you guys now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just talking like to a child, like a child to them, even if they are a child, I think a child ghost would be like, I'm like 5 years old. I do understand. You know what I mean? It's just about respecting and energy and all that.
It's like having that childlike faith. You know what I mean? It's like what it says in the Bible all the time is have childlike faith, meaning, you know, like the children have imaginary, they have their imagination is all around and all out there, and there's no like things to hold them back. Whereas that's why I believe a lot of children have these abilities up until a certain age, due to the environment they're in, where they can see spirits nonstop. You know, it's just a normal thing. I see them all the time, videos coming out of children, right, like going back and forth with something that we can't see. And, you know, I think it's that, you know, our surroundings and the way that we're brought up kind of closes off that connection, that third eye connection. And maybe it's also, you know, like they say, the fluoride in our water over here and, you know, certain things we use, toothpaste and all stuff with fluoride where it calcifies the pineal gland. I mean, who really knows? But I think it has to do more with the surroundings and the way that you're brought up. Because as a child, you know, if you see something that your parents are normally going to be like, oh no, it was nothing, don't worry about it, or it's just a dream, and you know, they're not really there. And you know, after a while, the child kind of grows up and then shuts themselves off to it. And I think that that's what's happened to a lot of us, you know. But in your opinion though, like, what do you think of like mediums and all that type of stuff? Do you think that they're were born with the like special gift, or do you think that they can also teach themselves?
I think everyone's born with the gift, and obviously some people are just, it stays with them as a child. That sounds weird. Yeah, and I think obviously like at a certain age the ability does just close down, where others just continue and go forward in life.
Yeah.
So I think it's just society shuts it down. You know, they're like, ghosts aren't real, spirits aren't real.
It could be many things, I think.
So you just shut it down. But a person can shut it down on their own too. But
it's, yeah,
the society, and, you know, my mama was always open about it, but I never really explored
it. But to most people, it's not acceptable.
Yeah, you know? Most people, it's not acceptable, so they get shut down. And
at least over here in the States, if people look at you like you're a nutcase the minute you say anything about paranormal, so it's getting better.
So they shut down the psychic door, or whatever you want to call it, the veil or whatever, and that gets shut on you just because it's no longer accepted as you get older, until you choose to reopen it yourself.
Yeah,
like my two friends below have.
Now, do you believe in intent, and do you believe in, like, say, like, your beliefs have a lot to do with, say, getting evidence or connection-wise to the spirit world? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I because obviously, since doing the filming, my abilities come out, so my focus is accepting of me, I think, with the energy that I bring out will give, you know, spirits, you know, a lot of spirits do like my energy when I go in, and I do have active activity all the time. So I believe with me being open and having my energy, you know, I'm always told I have a nice bright light, and I believe it. And so I believe that the spirits do come out and communicate more like that.
I truly believe that, man, and I believe you have that light. But please, John, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm in total agreeance with him. I think if you're there to help spirit, like if they feel trapped and you're there to help them move on, anything that that you can do, I think they feel that intention, and they're going to be more communicative with you through whatever device you use, whether it be a recorder or a spirit box, whatever. You know, and they're going to talk to you more just because of your intentions. I believe it's all about intentions. If you're there to help and try to help them move on, that they're going to be more perceptive to you in communicating with you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So what's the number one location that you said you've investigated almost over 30 different places? What's the one that sticks out in your mind that's your go-to to make you still believe that there's life after death?
Well, I would say Stokes Haunted Museum. When I went there, it was, just activities all the time, like walking. I saw visions, like obviously figures, voices, the energy in there is just all constant. Like obviously I've been to Ancient Ramin, and again that was like active and stuff, but it had a different energy. So I would say Stokes, for me, it's Stokes Haunted Museum. You could go in there all the time and get evidence, like filming. You wouldn't be disappointed.
Nice.
Now,
so what did you catch that time?
Yeah.
Folks, what was your experience there?
Well, obviously for me, because at the time I had a really good camera, I had a built-in mic that was, picked up everything. So I had a lot of like sighing. There was a man, a spirit man there that kept sighing, and I was the only one hearing it. And I captured it three times, I think, on my camera. But it was just because of my ability, it shoved images in my head of the man just standing going, like that, just like looking at us going, why are you here? Stop it. I want to be left alone.
Another one.
Yeah, but I saw figures. Obviously, I heard the footsteps on the floor when there was no one else around. It just made my ability come out more, which that's what I like, because I want to bring out more. But that place showed me without having to proper focus, it just naturally come in, and like they had a black mirror there. Looked at that instantly, showed me what was in the black mirror, and I was just like, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
I've never seen a black mirror.
Now, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you has to do with your research and methodology of what you do as a researcher. What are some of the most common methods you use to investigate paranormal activity in the afterlife?
For me, because all I do is just use my camera, obviously my mic and my light, and then I just communicate. And it seems to work naturally. I have used apps. The Necrophonic app and the Spirit Talker. Yeah, there has stuff come out, and I can legit say that it does work. Because a lot of people put that down and say, oh, it doesn't work, it repeats itself. But you have to really work it. Like, you have to really listen. You have to, So it does work. But, I have used them in the past, but I've sort of backed off a little bit. But it wouldn't stop me from using it again if someone else had it, you know what I mean? But I would just say probably myself more.
Going into what you just said, though, about the Necrophonic, a lot of people have this huge problem with Necrophonic, because if you look at the coding of Necrophonic, it does have a loop in there. But what I try to tell everybody is these ITC apps, if they're built by someone who is a credible ITC app maker, and who has that background, like how Chill Seekers, Keith Walden, who makes all these devices like Necrophonic and, Spiritus app, he has some knowledge behind what he's doing. And there is a reason for the loop. It's because it keeps the audio going for the spirits to use. But what I tell everyone to do is, if you get a new app and it's supposed to be an ITC app that really is working or does work for other people, and you've seen it work for other people, I say just turn it on and listen to it. Just listen to it through for as much as long as you can to get used to the sounds and what the sounds sound like. So then you can tell and differ between what actually is a spirit manipulating the device and what really isn't a spirit, and it's what is pareidolia, or what is not a false positive. So I try to tell everybody to do that type of thing, because that's the best way to understand your equipment and also to, you know, understand, you know, what you're getting, if it's evidence or not getting, because a lot of yes or no questions on the necrophonic, you can take as yes or no because of the way that the sounds come out as the, you know, the phonemes. So you can mistake a lot of times.
Yeah, that's when you have to proper divulge listening to, not just go off the first word that does come out or the sound that does come out. You have to focus.
Definitely. So
hey, John, real quick, just take over one sec. I just want to make sure she's okay, all right?
Yeah, you got it. The real reason I believe in the Necrophonics app is I was on a home investigation in Tennessee, and my phone had the Necrophonics app. So I was using her phone while I was filming live. And, you know, I signed into my Facebook or whatever, and I was actual live. And I was sitting there trying to communicate with spirit, and I farted. I said, excuse me. I said, that was me, nothing paranormal. And then literally, like, not 7 seconds later, it said, you farted. through the Necrophonics app. I was like, oh my God.
I'd believe it.
I could not believe it, man. Like, so that's when I knew, okay, this is my app. If I have to use something to communicate with spirit, I'm using Necrophonics all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I have a similar device, that orange one of mine, Jonathan. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's the same one as me. I love it. Because it had a similar response to something that was like, no way that could be a loop or something that's already in it. It's not a phone device. I wish I could reach it right now, but I can't. It's out of range.
No, like Chris, when we would investigate the Abbey, when we would go to the Abbey, like if I had a go-to thing that, like, I was feeling something around me right away, like I would turn on Necrophonics, and we would get real-time responses all the time.
Yeah.
So I believe in that app. That's the one app that I truly believe, just based off of my experiences, that it definitely does work
because it, I don't know if you guys, that I've had other voices come out of it, and I've heard people that I've known, you know, like, and I'm just like, but that shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't have words that come out and sound like someone you know that are like, for me, when it came out, I was like 100 miles down the road from the person I knew, but I heard their voice come through, and it was just like weird.
Yeah. And Jonathan, it even said illness, I guess, that night when you were escorting me out. So
the
funny thing was as well, I'll tell you, sorry. No. When I went to the Ancient Ram Inn, it affected me so weirdly. It affected me because I kept farting. Not normal farting, like excessive, weird farting. And that ain't normally me. And I think it was middle of the night when we started using Necrophonic app. And I kept farting and farting. It was just like, everyone was like, oh my God, can you stop farting? I was like, I cannot help this. Something is affecting me. And I was farting. I couldn't control it. And when we were using the Necrophonic app, it was saying gas. And it kept saying, coming out of gas. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I mean. And I was just like, yeah, I am a bit gassy. And I was just like, but could you not, like, try and affect me as much as you are? Because this is a bit, you know, embarrassing on video.
Well, John, didn't yours say you farted?
Like, no, he called it out. Like, it said, you farted. Like in an English accent, like your accent, it was like, you faulted. I was like, yes, I did. Even Emma,
Emma.
That's funny. Now, okay, so Daryl,
no, if an app can tell you when you farted, like I believe in it. I'm like, how can you know? There's no sensor or nothing.
Yeah, but if you was with me on the night of the Ancient Ram, you'd be like, do you actually need a priest in? Because it was not normal. I was affected like something different.
It was a Frognado. It just sounded like ribbit, ribbit, ribbit.
A Frognado, nice.
That is terrible. So I wanted to ask you, besides what you just, the place you just mentioned a little while ago, the stage, I didn't know what was the name.
What? Stokes Haunted Museum.
Is that what you said before, one of your experiences?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is one of the most significant experiences that you have had, and what location was it at besides that one?
It's probably bumping into a shadow person, literally. So this is Recolver Towers near me. And we're doing an investigation, and I wandered off just to have a little break, to have a sit down. And I come around the corner, and as I come around the corner from the main tower, this black shadow just came at me. And I was like, stood back, and I said, all right, mate, you have to get in my face like that. And I was just, I stood back, and I looked, and I was kept focused all the time. And I was just like, that definitely wasn't someone, because if it was someone, there would have been more, you know, human form, and you would have seen their face. But this was complete black shadow, and it just came at me as I was going around the corner, and it threw me. What's that? Sorry.
Sorry. Did you feel it go through you or anything?
No, it didn't go through me. So what would happen? I walked, and as it came at me, I backed off, and I just saw it like disappear, like backwards. So it did a sort of same what I did, but just disappeared. And I was just like, yeah, I was just like, blimey, like, really? Like, I wasn't scared. It was just the fact that I was like, you really have to get in my face like that? You know what I mean?
Emma says she saw one before, and she didn't realize until after it was gone. It was blacker than black. It just disappeared.
You could be in the darkest room in the world, and you could still see a shadow person. I don't care what anybody says. It's the weirdest thing ever, because it's like a different dark. It's like darker than dark, which doesn't make any sense at all. But then
it does in the quantum sense, because it, the darker it is, the less energy it has to use from the light waves.
Well, true.
And that's what Billy Carson talks about a lot, is that they'll use the least the form amount of energy in order to manifest themselves.
It was weird as well. It was like the way it was coming at me, it was like it was just stopping me from leaving where I was going. Like it was, you know, but then when I went back, it all kicked off. Like there's two children spirits there. And the weird thing is, I was with three other people, didn't like them. So because one of them was like a meat, she had the ability, so she could see them. And she was just saying, they don't like us. They like Daryl because they're hiding behind Daryl. Like they were clinging onto my legs. He was saying, I was just like, and as she said that, I looked like some legs, and I was just thinking, it's all right. It's all right. They are okay. Right. You know what I mean?
I just want to say to all our viewers out there, if you guys have any questions for Daryl, please put them in the comments, and we will put them up on the screen to ask them. So please feel free to support him and get involved in this conversation.
So I had one question. So Daryl, real quick. What's the one place that is on your bucket list that you would love to investigate?
I keep forgetting that. Was it the ship in America?
The Queen Mary.
The Queen Mary. That's it. That's the one place I'd love to go. Because of how big it is.
We have to get you out here then.
I'm gonna try and to get out to America. Like I've always said to myself, if I come to America, I want to like come out for, I think it's 3 months I can stay out in America for, and if I could do that and link up with as many people as possible, I would love to do that. I would have, you know, 100% come see you guys and that and everything. And
Well, you got East Coast and then middle of America between me and JK.
So. Yeah, they're located in the same place in Colorado, basically, almost just like a couple hours apart, but I'm located in the East. So, but Emma asked, when is your next investigation?
Well, I'm trying to get that at the moment. But if it happens soon, there's an old fire station in Ramsgate. So once that is settled, I'll probably go there. And then I'm just waiting on a load of other people to come back to sort out, you know, dates and times and that. But yeah, the old fire station near me, it looks like a very soon one.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
Find new locations. And
now, Chris, you have a question you'd like to ask?
No, not right now. You guys are covering me pretty good.
I just
good
didn't today. Want to skip over you, my friend.
No, you're covering me good. I'm just like about to ask it, and then you guys always say it. It's like we're linked or something.
Right, that's it. So I want to ask you, as a researcher in the paranormal field, how do you address skepticism from the scientific community or just regular people regarding the existence of the afterlife and paranormal phenomena? How would you approaches you with that, like that kind of skepticism, that negativity kind of way? Well, how do you do that?
I don't know, really, because from starting it to now, I've got more relaxed and not as responsive or angry to, you know, people saying, oh, I don't exist and stuff like that. But now I would say that you'd have to come out on an investigation and see, you know, for yourself. I've always had activity, so I'm sure that anyone would come out with me would see, hear.
I would.
You
know.
I always invite people out with me. Anytime they say that, I'm like, but well, you should come with me to the Abbey. You know, let's check this out. If you can walk away without an experience, then you can keep saying nothing.
But like, when it comes to, obviously, skeptics and people that don't believe, I don't tend to try and get in an argument. You know, I accept their, you know, they don't believe, you know. And I would say it's like, I respect your views. You know, I have my views. You know, we come in the middle, you know. And I always say, if they fancy coming out, there's the offer's there.
That's a huge thing for me. Like, before, anybody that challenged me, like, I would block them. But I've learned to accept them because they open up another frame of thinking. Okay, I didn't think of that. So next time I investigate, I'm going to take their theories and see if I still get the same stuff. And it that's one thing that unless you're there and you're actually experiencing they don't understand. It's easy to be on the other side of the camera and say that's not true.
That's another form of para-unity, though, is accepting the people that don't believe. And so
exactly. Welcome them. Say, yeah, come investigate with me and exactly. Do it for yourself.
I'll always welcome somebody.
Like, there's a fella who's a proper skeptic, doesn't believe in it at all. His name's, I will say his name, Richard Case. I don't know if you've heard of him. But he is literally a complete skeptic. But it's weird because he's a complete skeptic, doesn't believe in it. But if you have seen his profile, he likes to challenge, like, us investigators. Like, by saying, oh, it's a load of codswallop and stuff like that. And I'm like,
it's the same with, you don't Kenny Biddle. Kenny Biddle is a big one, too.
But it's just like, he doesn't believe in it, but he just loves to challenge and sort of disrespect people's views. And you think, but why do you do that? You are bullying, you're attacking people. There's a lot of people out there that will bite back. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I don't believe in the disrespectful stuff when it comes to being a skeptic. I believe if you're going to be a skeptic and not believe, that's fine. You know, if you don't have an open mind and you're not willing to, like, open up your mind a little bit, that's fine. But don't be disrespectful about it, because that's just wrong, you know. But what I try to do is, I've always asked my guides. I had a near-death experience and I came back. And ever since I came back, I've had these gifts. And I started to connect with my spirit guides through using binaural beats and different frequencies to get into a higher frame of consciousness. And I've always asked them to explain stuff through the spirit box to me in a scientific way, so that when I am approached with a skeptic, I can talk to them about the quantum field, about quantum mechanics, about, you know, all this stuff that I'm studying and learning, and, you know, put it in that type of way so that, you know, people can understand, like, okay, there is a little scientific part about this, but science just doesn't want to go into it fully yet. And that's totally fine. But I think with para-unity down the road, we'll be able to do that. But real quick, Emma asked another question. She said, do you believe in Ouija boards?
I do. I've done it once, but I don't tend to want to, like, me personally, use it again. You know, I don't mind watching, because I've had a situation where I've sat down, watched people do it, and again, my abilities come through, and I've actually come out with the answers before the board has, you know what I mean? So I remember it was, where was it? I think I was like at Army Cadets place, Army RAF Cadets place in Margate, in town over from me. Sat down, they did the Ouija board, and I was saying the answers before the spirit was answering. But the funny thing is, I could sense that the spirit was like, will you just let me finish? Like, I know you've got the ability and stuff, but can you just let me? But it was, you know, the others found that, like, fascinating. I was fascinated because I was like, I was getting it before the spirits were, you know, showing it on the board.
So we also have another question from Sue Bender. She asked, what might be the difference one might encounter in different parts of the world, such as British versus the US, as far as cultural history?
I mean, there's a big
difference. I would think you would experience more because your part of the world is much older and experience much more history than what we're known to.
Yeah, I would say in history wise, what's happened over the years. But then you got to think you're still going to have activity going back further than obviously America was formed. Because if there were still people, there was like Native Americans, you know what I mean? There probably was other people than the Native Americans that would have lived on your land and died. So, but yeah, I understand the history wise, the type of haunting and stuff like that. But you got to think that you're still going to have haunting, just a different style past a certain date.
Well, even then, you go to a scientific perspective of it, when all the continents were connected, you know, and they separated, you know. I think about how much older, you know, I don't know if those spirits are still around. Maybe those are the weird and stuff we hear, you know. They don't know how to communicate with us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I would say spirits, I know it's weird, and some people be like, what do you mean? It's like, I do believe spirits do adapt, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like us in life, we adapt with how we come up with what technology and stuff, but I do believe that spirits would adapt over hundreds of thousands of years of how, you know, you probably go into a building and they have someone that died in like 1700s, but it's probably got a spirit on the land that the building's on that's been dead for 1,000 years. But they don't understand or how to communicate, or they're like, oh, they're different. They're different to what they would have seen back in the day. You know what I mean? So they're probably a bit scary for them.
No, exactly. I'm thinking that thus the ones that are gifted, that are able to feel spirit and stuff, they use our consciousness to use our words to what they're feeling. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I find that absolutely fascinating. I wanted to say, how do you handle situations where your findings might contradict the beliefs or like expectations that you have? Like,
as in
situations like that, are you just open-minded and you accept it, or do you kind of toggle with yourself like I do sometimes, and I'm like, man, you know, that kind of shook me a little bit. Now I have to kind of think about some things, and it gives me more questions than answers, unfortunately. But you know, how do you handle a situation like that?
I think it varies with me. There's been times where I've acknowledged something's happened and understood what it is, and like, and then there's times where something happened, I'm like, what the, you know what I mean? I'm like proper like standing there for a good 5 minutes thinking, what, you know what I mean? So sometimes I'm all right, and then sometimes I have to question it because it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I know it's like one of my dreams the other day, it felt like I was alive and I was on a paranormal investigation, you know, and when I woke up, I had to question it because it was like, so real, you know what I mean? And it was just some of the stuff in the dream was just the wacky. It was like I was seeing shadow people galore. There was things coming at us, And I'm like the only one warning people, and everyone's just deluded. You know, they're not focusing. They're just in their own little element. And I'm just like trying to warn people, and people are just like, "Well, all right, whatever." You know what I mean? I'm just like, so that dream obviously meant something, but it was, I had to question it.
What do you think about what do you think about astral projection? Do you believe that maybe your body left and you were in another, you know, space and time?
I think the majority of the time I do that, which, you know, to some, a majority of people would be like, understand. But I do have a lot of paranormal dreams, probably every night, near enough.
Do you believe in different levels of spirits, like, you know, spirit, demon, blah blah, whatever?
I believe there's different, you know, I mean, like types whatever of spirit, and but when you bring a devil and a demon, I do believe, but yeah, I say that it's not as easy as some people saying in their videos. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, I'm gonna go into this place and there's a demon or devil, and you think,
And I don't like to go that far ever. I'm just trying to, you know. As
tangent, you know, that's great that you brought that up though, Chris, because that was a question I was gonna ask: is what are your thoughts about demons in this field? Because I think a lot of people use it so much now because of Hollywood and everything. They use it as clickbait, you know. And then as humans, we for some reason love negative crap. I don't know what it is. We love watching people kill each other, fight. I mean, we'll watch
anything. Negative attracts the positive, right, AJ?
What was that?
Negative attracts the positive.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, for some reason, as human beings, we are so attracted to the negative of things that we always, like, will click on these clickbait things that are like, oh, we encountered a demon, more than someone who has credibility in the field that's really going on a paranormal investigation and really shows you what an actual investigation is like. And then people are like, that's boring. You know, I don't want to watch
I think I can answer that one, because obviously demons is entertaining.
Yeah.
Like capturing real stuff. Majority of the time in videos, it's slow. But when you got like a demon in the title or the devil in the title, they all seem to have the video where it's nonstop. Something's happening.
And
so
it's like 17 million views, whereas if you just put spirit, it's like 6,000 or something. Mm. So, like,
exactly.
It's how you word it, it attracts.
Yeah. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see the behavior of us human beings and how we love that kind of darker stuff, and, you know, how we're attracted to it, especially on YouTube. I mean, it's a huge thing right now. And with Ghost Adventures also doing like a lot of demon cases, as they say, you know, that also brings it up. But they're smart business-wise, because it's a huge marketing ploy where people love it, you know, because look at all the horror movies.
Personally, dude, I think they're going to pay for it later, because they know they've been lying to everybody forever. And I think when they're done with this life, they're going to have to spend a lot of time in their
I'd rather watch anything any of us do, whether we go live at an investigation or whatever, or Wanty showing something or whoever, than watch somebody that one of those big productions
that fakes it.
Fakes it. A jump scare for a jump scare. And you can literally see
over, there's the big issue though, and I want to ask you this question. There's the big issue, okay? Not every single TV show fakes evidence. That's the problem. We have a notion where if it's on TV, it's automatically fake, and that's what people like have this notion about. And I have somebody that has worked with Ghost Adventures on Travel Channel when they were with Travel Channel, and somebody who worked very close with them, and they actually do go in and do their investigation alone. They have no other production team besides when they're doing their interviews and their B-roll stuff. That's when they use their production team. And obviously, I talked to the production company, and the production company says, you know, it is TV, so it is 50% dramatization and, you know, interviews and stuff like that, cinema. And then there's 50% that is the real deal when they're investigating and all that stuff. And I see a lot of people attack them and say, yes, they're lying to people, like, not all of it's real. And you know what? Maybe not all of it is for them. I'm not sure. But from the person who I know who has worked with them personally, they do all their own editing. They do all their own stuff. I mean, they are the real deal as investigators. And, you know, it just kills me that when something's on TV, it's automatically deemed fake now. But yet we can watch YouTube video after YouTube video, and we can believe these little kids that make up stupid, oh, Elmo's going to attack me if I turn him into a, you know, whatever those things are in voodoo, one of those voodoo dolls. And he, all of a sudden you see this whole video where Elmo just shows up at the door with a knife in his hand. You know it's fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's somebody playing around. But you know, people are so attracted to that. And I think it's because of, obviously, the way that the horror and all that stuff, you know, goes.
And those real ones, as you call them, the ones that are real, AJ, they need to be called, not called out, that's the wrong word, but praised and put on a pedestal so we know they're real. So we can say, like, that show's legit. And but, you're like, no, that show's fake as F.
But how do you do that? How do you do that? Because you're not in the inner work, so you don't know. But,
well, like the one you said.
You follow the people that produce their own stuff. If they produce their own stuff, then you know there's nobody behind it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's why I like Paraflix, dude. That's why I like Paraflix and all the stuff that they do, because they produce their own stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on my own, because it's just me. And obviously, if I do collab with people,
I'm by myself. I don't need a team. I want to experience this by myself. I know I'm the only one in the building. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But if I do collab, I only collab with people I know 100% real, do not fake stuff.
Exactly.
You know, if I were to go out on an investigation with a team and I saw them faking, I would physically still be filming, and then I would turn it in and confront them, you know, because at the end of the day, we don't need fakers, you know.
Exactly.
The real people need to physically be out there doing what they're doing good, and not have to be cut up by the fakers, you know what I mean? It's weird. From the start to now, I don't care. I will talk to, I'll have an argument with someone. If I catch him, you know, faking stuff, you know, I will have a pop. I don't, you know what I mean? I know some people might be like, oh, what, you're so horrible and memes. Like, I'm telling the truth. Like, I'm literally, people need to see this. You know what I mean? You can see me as an enemy.
I'll be
honest,
dude. If I ever saw somebody faking stuff while I was filming and stuff, I would punch him in the friggin' face. Like, I wouldn't care. You can ask Chris. That's the type of guy I am. Like, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, I think
I called out somebody at the last event we did, JK, that was, he was rapping on walls and stuff and trying to say, hear that? I was like, dude, that's you. Dude, that's you. Dude, that's you.
It's hard, you know, because people nowadays, they want to become famous. They want those views on YouTube. And it sucks because the people that do fake stuff in this field, that people who really aren't in this field, they just say they are. Ruins our credibility as actual researchers who really care about this field and really put our everything into it. And it sucks that, you know, that has to happen. But if it didn't happen, I don't think we would push as hard as we do to fight for what we love, you know? So in a way, I look at the positive out of the fact, you know?
Right. Do you believe in, like, other cryptids too, or just, like, the spirits?
I believe in UFOs, the Sasquatch, Bigfoot, all of that. I believe they're real, you know, so obviously there's people out there that don't, but it's each their own.
But how come we don't see, like, the Bigfoot, Yeti?
You've got to think that they're a creature that obviously like to keep to themselves, you know, like, what's it, what's that animal in Scotland? I've forgotten in the big lake.
The Loch Ness.
Like, they're going to be a creature that will come out, you know, at a certain time. So they're not always going to be seen, you know, and there is pictures out there, you know, there was one or two, I think it said has been faked, but there is pictures out there that are genuine.
Yeah.
And so I believe that they're a creature that love to keep them to themselves. They ain't going to come out and say hello. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, put yourself in that creature's position. If you don't want to be seen, I can disappear right now. And if I don't want to be seen, I won't be seen. You know what I mean?
Make you disappear too.
I mean, think about it. 5%, not even 5% of our oceans have been really explored.
No, so yeah.
Sea creatures that are down there. We could even have a megalodon that's just migrated down so deep that we just haven't been able to see one. And whenever it feels to pop up, it pops up. But also think in the eyes, like you just said, of the creature. It's like if they know that they're going to be spotted and hunted, why would they come up? They obviously have exactly. Like Bigfoot. Bigfoot, for example. I know a guy that has amazing footage of real Bigfoot things, and it's on YouTube. It was on Survivor Man, this guy, and he showed real actual footage of what he caught of a baby Sasquatch and also a adult one. And you could see them hiding, and like they know that humans will hunt them. If they're found out. And it's so sad to see that that's what our world comes down to, is that instead of giving them their peace or anything and just filming, like we would tell the world, and all of a sudden the world would go and hunt them down to probably run scientific experiments.
And the sad thing is we would kill them instead of try and communicate.
Try and understand. Try and understand.
It's like if I went to America and I did see a Bigfoot, and there was a position where if I was to run, I couldn't outrun a Bigfoot. You know what I mean? So if I was in a position where I was caught out by a Bigfoot and it came up to me, obviously I would stay calm and collective until, you know, if I died, I died. But the thing is, if I stood there and it come up to me and started like, you know, doing with the hands, like touching and like grunting and stuff like that. And if I knew then they were like, well, you haven't killed me yet, so I'd be like, you would start like probably talking to it, and if it didn't kill you still, you know that it probably you could have a communication. It probably doesn't understand you. It might do. It might not. It's one of them. But
well, check this out. Right, we found out that dolphins, okay, have their own language, and they actually name each other, and they go by names. Science has found this. Now science have found out that science and a certain type of whale actually meet up, and they have their own language besides their own language that they speak within their pod. They made up a language between each other that they understand so that they can hunt together. And I was watching a documentary last night about that, and it makes me wonder, these animals that are big whales, big fish, stuff like that, like dolphins that are very, very intelligent, their brains are massive. The consciousness that has to be in them is so intelligent, probably, that we don't even understand. We just think they're fish, and we just think whatever. I mean, we've seen dolphins do a lot of experiments. We've seen them fall in love with people before. I mean, there's an experiment that happened where they put one in a house, and it actually fell in love with the woman who was doing the experiment, and they actually had to get him away from her. And it was very intense, and it was a bad experiment that went wrong. But seeing these animals with such big brain capacity and such stuff like that, you can't sit here and tell me that these spirits or these animals don't have a spirit. You know what I'm saying? They don't have
absolutely
like they consciousness.
And that's what I mean.
Everything consciousness. Is consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, tell me, I wanted to ask you with what do you see as the future of paranormal research and the study of the afterlife? And are there any emerging trends or areas of interest that you're particularly excited about for the future of the paranormal field?
Well, one thing I'd love to see is everyone get on, you know, not argue, you know, actually just come together and actually understand. You come together, you'll get more done. You know what I mean? I just forgotten what you asked.
Collaborative.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. Go ahead, John, brother.
No, man, I think you've been awesome today, man. And I can't thank you enough for being on the show. And I would love to have you back. And like this hour has just flown by, dude.
It really has.
Literally. And there's so many questions that I have. It's ridiculous. I wrote down like so many questions. Like if people could see this at home, it literally goes for miles. Like I wrote down so many questions. It's crazy.
He has to write them down. Mine are all here.
Well, no, actually, I let ChatGPT help me sometimes. I'm not gonna lie. But what I want to ask you before we end up closing up here is for advice for aspiring researchers, people who are just getting into the paranormal field, what advice would you give to someone interested in pursuing a career in the paranormal research field? And, you know, are there any essential skills or knowledge areas that they should focus on?
I just think that if you want to do it, you know, and you know people, ask them. We're not going to bite. You know, we're a friendly bunch of people. And I always think if you're going to start out, just start with your phone. And then obviously work your way up, and just as you're going along, ask everyone questions. You know, don't be afraid. You know. And you'll get somewhere.
Yeah, we're generally friendly people.
Yeah.
I would say if you ask me that question, I would say go in with an open mind, be willing to open yourself up to what's out there, but don't be afraid, because it's not going to hurt you. They just want to tell their story. You know what I mean? I think if you go in with that intention, that you're going to get more out of it than you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't generally, like, even if someone was new, I wouldn't generally say, oh, by the way, you might get some, are we allowed to swear?
Yeah, we're allowed.
I'm like, you might get some dickheads, but you shouldn't. You just, like, if someone's starting out, you just, you know, open mind, like you said, and stuff, and just ask questions that you know people do it. But I would never scare anyone, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, we want people to do what they're passionate about. And, you know, obviously they'll come into it, and they will probably come across some idiots. But it's a learning curve. It's going to happen no matter what. I reckon everyone in the paranormal world has literally had at least one experience with an idiot. You know what I mean? Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, we even get them as spirits. I mean, you'll get these dickhead spirits that come through that'll say, I'm a demon. And in reality, no demon that's a real demon is going to sit there and go, I'm a demon. Think about it. You know what I mean? So what I would say to someone who's getting into this is, one, don't get nervous or don't show fear when you do get something negative. If it's something negative, just turn off the device and, you know, end the session if you're really that type of nervous. If not, just call them
outside.
I call them out on their bullshit. I literally go, you're not a demon. Stop acting that way. No demon would tell me they're a demon, because I've had one case where I believe I actually encountered a demon, and this thing did not. It was a 9-year-old girl that literally could throw a table over her head, and like, it was wild. But like, you don't get cases like that. A lot of this paranormal stuff is about love. It's about, you know, the spirits showing them respect. And all this stuff, and that's what I would say to someone who's aspiring to get into this field, is just
have a patient,
good heart, you know,
and be patient.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get that loud bang or that I'm gonna get you or whatever you want to hear.
I think that's a big problem in the field, is provocation. But what is your thoughts on provocation, using that on when you're out in the field?
What does that word mean?
Oh, it means like how Zach Bagans used to challenge the spirit. Like, they, yeah. Remember how Zach Bagans used to
challenge it?
Come on, you ain't gonna do nothing
for me. I don't believe that at all. Because you can do it, but the effects after, it's down to you what happens after, you know what I mean? So
go back to that intent stuff. You're being mean to it, it's gonna be kind of...
Yeah, show negative, you're gonna get negative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, you guys have one more question for Daryl before we end today?
Daryl, where can we find you? Where can we see your evidence, man?
So my main evidence will be on my YouTube channel, obviously Lost Souls UK. It's all highlighted as it is. You can see my name in the bottom. I'm on Instagram, on TikTok, YouTube, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. But with my Facebook one, it's just my name, my personal page that I've put, you know, put my Lost Souls and my personal page as one, because I just find it easier. So, yeah, I think that's all my socials, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't have another question. JK took nine, so, like I said, we're one mind here. We're one mind, basically.
Right? All right, so I have a question. The question is, if you were a spirit and you had the choice to go up to heaven to visit anybody you possibly could, to speak for them for just 5 to 10 minutes, who would it be and why?
Well, it wouldn't be one. It would be, so there's three. So there's my granddad, my auntie, and my nan. And I'll probably go and, you know, visit them and speak to them. And because I never, well, my auntie, I did. She passed away when I was alive, but my granddad and my nan died before.
What would you ask them? What would you ask them since you never got to meet them? What would you ask them?
If they're proud of me and what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
I think.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
That is awesome, man. That is awesome. That's so good to hear. Well, Daryl, I hope that you'll come on again for us, man, in the near future.
Yeah.
I would love 100%. To get some stuff going, like, so we could show some evidence next time. So whenever you get stuff ready for us, just let us know and we'll have you on immediately and we'll show some great evidence and stuff.
And yeah,
your next
yeah.
investigation, the next one you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the firehouse, the old firehouse, yeah. I'll try
for sure.
and get some good evidence there.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, my friend. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
That. Roger.
Roger,
but
Daryl,
thank you so much for
joining us. Again.
It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to talk to you more, my friend. So,
yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. Like I said, you're definitely going to come back on. You're part of the Talking with the Source family now. So,
jeez.
Thank you so much, Wayne's World. We appreciate you. But is there anything else you'd like to tell the viewers before you leave?
Be good, be happy, and as Roman Atwoods would say, smile more.
I like that, man. I
bet
that.
You know and knows who Roman Atwood is.
Hey, man, I like it, brother. I like it. Well, hey, Dale, good seeing you, my friend. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
And I'll be sending you over
nice
some
to
videos
meet you.
For the show. So thank you so much for sharing everything
nice
out.
Nice to meet
also,
you.
Thank you for being on.
Nice meeting you as well.
Definitely. Take
salute,
care,
my
brother.
See you later.
Wow, guys, what did you think, man? Tell me your guys' honest truth on this.
I love that.
It was absolutely amazing. The hour went by too quick. Way
it was
too
like
quick.
Bang, bang. I loved it. He was
it
great.
Is a great show. I love today. I really felt connected with Daryl. I think his intentions, I think his way of thinking is exactly like ours. And I think we need to connect more with those type of people. So.
Yeah,
if you're a paranormal investigator, you know, hook up with AJ or myself. Let's get you on the show and
yeah,
share.
Monkey, hook up with AJ. He's up near you, bud.
Yeah, man. Or even hit up Chris. You know, hit up Chris.
Wonky's
you
know, in Massachusetts.
If you're a paranormal researcher,
yeah, we got to get Wonky on. We should get
or
Wonky.
Or you're a medium. Anything like that, please come on the show. We'd love to talk to you, even if it's about cryptids and UFOs. We love speaking about that stuff too. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can check us out on all social media platforms. Definitely check out our TikTok where you'll see clips of each video, each episode go up.
Yes, also, Roger.
Also, we don't say it enough, but we want to thank all the people on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, so much for listening in to each and every episode on the go. So please feel free to go
all
over your favorite podcast listening platform and follow us there. We are there at Talking with the Source. You won't be able to miss us. We'll have our little green guy there, which you won't miss. But we have episodes that come out every week, every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then goes right on to the podcast platforms. And there's our little logo up at the top right that you'll see. And they go up on like Monday through Wednesday. So you'll see the new episodes during then. But thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. I cannot thank you guys enough. And thank you for all the questions that we got from Emma and from Sue and just from everybody. So thank you guys so
Wally,
much.
Wally, Roger, everybody. Thank
everybody.
You so much. Yeah.
Y'all were wonderful.
So before we leave, though, JK, shout your stuff out. Chris, shout your stuff out. JK, go.
All right. So this upcoming Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Mountain Time, I will be doing session number 2 for Tyler Goodrich. He is a missing adult male in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's been missing for about a month and a half. Maybe no, it's longer than that. Yeah, it's he went missing in I want to say November 2023. So yeah, we gotta find him. So This will be my second session. I guarantee you it's going to be much better than the first one. We got some stuff on the first one, so check that out. And then Legit Podcast, I'm on a show on theirs on Fridays at 10:05 Eastern. So check it out.
Hold on. Before you say anything, Chris, there's something I want to say to everyone, the viewers, about what John just said. When you're watching his live and he's doing a Spirit Box session, make sure you wear headphones, because that is where you're going to hear the best responses. Also, he's going to put up the best responses after the fact, where he goes in and he'll edit, put the captions in.
On Thursdays.
On Thursdays. So definitely check that out as well, because it is scanning at 150 milliseconds. So it is kind of
hard. So I have to slow it down.
If you're not trained. If you're not trained. So definitely. But Chris, please shout out your stuff real quick so we can get out of here.
It's kind of new, so I'm not really sure where we're going up yet. I know BB3 on Facebook. Sometimes I'm on some with Things Network on Facebook. That's all capital THINGS. Mainly just guest hosting on there, and we just basically BS on that one. BB3, I'm going to start doing a regular on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. my time, so 8 p.m. your time. It's going to be a wrestling show, though, so a little bit different.
Oh, yeah!
Exactly, my man. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yeah.
But that's it for me right now. When I know more, I'll know more next week, so I'll be able to shout out better. So
awesome. Some Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Oh!
Why y'all talking about my girl like that? Come on.
No. Oh, geez.
Oh, shit. Oh, my girl looks like Hacksaw.
Everyone, we are closing with that statement. Well, everybody, have a wonderful night. Love you guys, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Talking with the Source.
See y'all.
Spirit fingers.
Spirit fingers.